Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting. And keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHA, or nobody else.
No other alphabets?
We don't even speak that well for ourselves. No one else would claim our comments. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
I'm about to have a huge burp.
Go for it.
But I'm trying,
right
I'm
in the
trying,
microphone.
I'm trying
right
to hold
in the
back.
Mic, baby.
I'm trying to
rattle
hold back.
That thing out.
It's not going to be that big of a burp.
Okay.
We're eating.
This is really disgusting. Seriously, this is what you guys are going to talk about?
Oh, yeah. And Shelley's having dinner.
Yeah, sure, why not? So, Shelley, how's your week? I realize you just put a giant bite of food in your mouth.
I'm eating this lovely, delicious spaghetti and meatballs that Debbie made for us.
Yes.
Well, I guess she made it for everybody, but Debbie does realize that there are only two of us living here, right?
Well, she thought that since you might have a really busy week, she wanted to make sure that you had extras.
There's
Yeah, I know.
I pulled out this bag of spaghetti. I'm like, how many people is this going to feed? Where's Mark going after we record?
Yeah. Nope, that's you. Bruce has lunch for a couple of days.
I was going to say, lunch.
I'm good with that. I am absolutely good with that. So.
What?
What's shaking with Shelley?
Not much, just running to a standstill.
Not
as
much?
As usual. I mean, you know, normal stuff. I've got more work than I can handle right now, and
your sponsor slash boss dropped a gigantic load of work on you.
Yes, she's going to be going back to the coaching full time rather than doing half admin, half coaching.
Uh huh.
Because now it's the swim team that I work for is now a 501c3.
Uh huh.
3C, C3, whatever.
C3.
It's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
The board has respectfully requested that she spend more of her time at the pool and less on administrative tasks because that's what they're paying me for.
Right.
And to which I said, yeah, but you have me capped at 15 hours a week. To which she replied, forget the cap.
Okay.
She said, I'm going to have to hand more of this over to you. So I may end up working full time. I may end up working
60 hours a week.
30 hours a week. I don't know exactly at this point, but it's mostly 99% of what I do is from home. I have to go in one day in August for the team, for the new swimmer orientation and staff meeting. Sure. And then I don't need to go back in to work for 3 months.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but you know what I've discovered? Everybody thinks, oh, it would be so great to work at home. Yeah, I can work in my pajamas all day. But you never leave work.
Plus, there's a lot of things that can sidetrack you throughout the day, and there's not that sense of
that's
completion.
Very true.
Well,
because you're never done.
You're never, well, like any job, you're never done. I mean,
but when you leave, you're done.
For the day, right.
For the day.
Yeah. My problem is, I don't get sidetracked too often. My problem is, I don't get sidetracked. So the laundry piles up, the kitchen is a mess, nobody's getting fed, the animals are all stuck in the house. I have to remember to get up to go let them out. I get too focused on what I'm doing and everything else.
Bruce, are your needs being met?
You know what I discovered? This is a completely different subject. Now that I have a mouthful of
you have a mouthful of
meatball.
Food.
You know, at home no one sees this because we have a mixing board. We can look and see the levels. So when we go to record, we do a test. And we'll say, I'm speaking in my regular voice, I'm speaking in my regular voice, I'm speaking in my regular voice, and we can see what the levels are. When we're actually speaking,
we don't usually speak in our regular voices.
That is not the regular voice because we have a million red lines on here now.
But so, do all of us have them?
I don't think I do.
Because the board, the board doesn't indicate it. Just the board in front of you does.
Yes.
The main mixing board does not indicate we're redlining at all.
No. So. No. And it's usually if more than one person talks at one time.
Which is usually all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you doing, Mark? What's up with you?
Well, I had an interesting week this week. Do tell. Because, you know, I have Kaiser now.
Okay.
So, and I have had sleep apnea since 2002. And the time has come for me to have to get new accessories for my machine and everything.
CPAP stuff.
Yeah. So I contacted Kaiser and they said, well, we need to have a sleep test on file in order for you to order anything from us.
Right.
The last sleep test I had was March of last year. I was 270 pounds, and I was having sinus issues.
Right, which is all different now.
So I go pick up this test, which, by the way, they charge me a copay to pick up the test and a copay to drop off the test. So I go pick up this test, and I take it overnight at home, so I can't use my CPAP machine. I have to just wear all their testing stuff.
Right.
So I come in the next day. I give the guy the test. He calls me in, says, okay, let's go over your results. He goes, okay, now we've got you on file. You've got a baseline test done. I said, great. I said, do I order my supplies from you or do I have to go up online? He goes, yeah, about that. I said, what about that? He goes, you don't have sleep apnea anymore.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went from waking up 45 times an hour to under 3, which is normal.
You're not going to die in your sleep anymore.
Well, not from that.
Well, that's kind of freaking awesome.
That means you don't have to have a bunch of crap on your face while you're sleeping.
Well, I have to wean myself off of it. They said, don't just stop.
Right. But still.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was...
Losing weight and eating healthy has had great effects on you.
Does amazing things. If I gave up cigars, I would just want to kill myself.
I'm like, you'd be bummed.
It'd be better for my health, but I just want to kill myself.
You would be bummed. I don't really have a lot going on, you know. Just opened a new store.
Yeah, just that.
Yeah, just that.
Just working 10 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, I'm going to...
That's all.
I was just... telling Mark, or I told somebody today, I don't know, my sponsee. I was telling him, I'm like, he's like, well, what days do you take off? I said, I think probably Christmas. And he goes, no, I mean like the ones every week. I go, I think probably Christmas will probably be the next day I take a day off. And of course, I told Mark before the show, you know, my mother shows up today. Sundays are a day. I don't open till noon, so I can sleep in.
Yeah.
Mom shows up 8:30, quarter to 9. Hey.
No, it was 9:30.
Yeah, same thing.
Whatever.
It was before 11.
Wasn't way sleep in, I'll tell you that.
I know, but you know I know it was 9:30?
No.
Because I had woken up at 9:28.
Ah.
When she showed up.
Oh.
And so you guys are saying, don't you want to come to breakfast? And I'm like, because I'm not functional.
No. Well, that would explain why then.
Okay.
Well, you know what that means.
Oh, no, that doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean that?
Okay. Shelly's got a mouthful of meatballs.
And she's got to get the news up. So it doesn't mean that. So what else, Bruce?
Well... You guys could always, if you live in Southern California, Dreamland Mattress 2, 1399 Foothill Boulevard in the East Foothill Boulevard, in the lovely city of
Upland,
91786. We will hook you up.
You are four minutes from my office.
Expect the same amount of five-star service that we get in our Covina location, Yelp, and we will have that there as well. Now serving the Inland Empire for your... sleeping needs. Your good night's sleep is our business.
Oh.
Oh, did you
Shelly just F-bombed off the air.
Did you just drop the F-bomb there?
Okay, my phone is giving me trouble trying to find the stupid whatcha-who's-it.
Okay, well, you mean keep looking. So, you know, I'm like 5 minutes away from a cigar call. Yeah. I'm about a text away, babe.
You know what? The other day, in the middle of the day, I'm sitting there. No cigar. I'm trying to find a tobacco place.
Yeah.
Or, well, no. I don't find a tobacco place. I find a smoke shop at the corner of Grove and Foothill, which is where I am. It's just across the street. I go over there. There is nothing but weed smoking going on there.
Yeah.
Nothing but there's no cigarettes. There's no tobacco. It's a smoke shop, all right. But
yeah, it's a head shop. Like, we call those head shops in the 70s.
And it's funny because the guy looked and he goes, "Oh, that's a great shirt you have on." And I'm wearing the Sons of Anonymity shirt, which is instead of Sons of Anarchy. And he looks at it and he goes, "Wait a minute, that's a Sons of Anonymity." And I go, "Right, because I'm in an anonymous 12-step program." I'm like, "That's why I probably won't be buying anything to smoke here today." He goes, "Yeah, dude, we don't have cigars around." I'm like, "Yeah, that's a shame."
I'm right up the street, dude.
I will remember that because...
With a humidor full.
That's true.
Some good stuff.
So, you know what's funny? We're drawing this out so Shelly can get ready, and she is shoveling food into her mouth.
She's ready.
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
You guys do the doo-doots. That's you guys.
I just wanted to see if, you know.
This is a real Mickey Mouse operation, let me tell you.
This operation has yours?
Oh, boy. Mickey Raton. All right, we have shout-outs to Bill, Billy, Damon, The Other Mark, Lee, Fran, Johnny, Randy, Roger, Dakota, Sally, John, Lisa, Other John, Joey, James, Susan, Jane Lynn, Mitch, Natalie, Alan, Jack, and Georgette.
Now, see your entire thing there? You redlined the entire thing.
Awesome. The first story, actually, I found... Well, I didn't find, but it was all over the place. True Blood actor Nelson Ellis died. Uh-huh. He played Lafayette on the show True Blood. And actually, I watched like the first season of that show, and he was the best actor on the whole show. Best
Should
character.
I know this guy?
Probably not. If you
not
haven't
if you didn't watch True Blood.
Well, he was in some other television shows. He was an up-and-comer, rising star type of person. But his character was absolutely fantastic. I think he was nominated for an Emmy for it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Nominated for an Emmy.
The funny thing was, the character he played in the series of books that the television show was based on got killed off in the first chapter of the first book.
Oh, he stayed a lot longer.
Right. So, but in the movie series, in the television series, they liked his characterization so much that they changed the thread of the story to include him.
Oh, Hollywood would never do that.
Well, yeah, the writer of the books, Charlene Harris, was like, "Oh, yeah, we should keep him."
Oh, that's
she's the one who helped write the series.
So it's kind of like what's her name with Harry Potter. Yeah, I'm not writing anymore. Oh, wait, maybe I'll write a screenplay.
Yeah,
maybe we'll continue this a little bit.
Anyway, he died a couple of weeks ago at age 39.
Ouch,
that's too young.
He was found on the floor of his home, and his family has decided that they are going to share the cause of his death, which was alcohol withdrawal.
Ooh, Amy Winehouse.
He tried to get sober on his own, and he's had several stints in rehab where they medically detoxed him so that he wasn't going into withdrawal, and he was so fed up with his situation, and he was desperate to get sober, and he told his family, I'm just not going to drink. I'm going to stay home for this weekend, and then...
That's very, very dangerous.
I think
we probably talked about it on the show before, but more people die from alcohol detox than die from drug overdose.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing statistic, but you got to be really careful with that.
With alcohol withdrawal, it can be extremely dangerous.
Right.
The family, I'm quoting a spokesperson for the family, Nelson was ashamed of his addiction and was thus reluctant to talk about it during his life. We believe, however, that in his death, he would want his life to serve as a cautionary tale in his attempt to help others.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. Very sad news. Okay, Damon sent this story in. Damon,
do you have any other? I mean, while we're on the morbid,
we could do deaths in groups of threes for this last couple of weeks.
Who? The singer of Linkin Park.
Oh, yes,
hung himself on his other buddy
Chris Cornell's birthday.
Yeah. Who also hung himself like a couple months ago?
It was commemorative.
Oh, jeez.
No, I mean it was. And, you know, and him
and
drugging alcohol.
And you can't remember his name, can you?
Chester.
Oh, Chester. Okay.
I can't remember his last name, though.
See, but the thing
he
is,
was the one, if you ever listen to Linkin Park, he was the one that was more of the screamer singer guy. He wasn't the guy that did like the rap sounding stuff. But I really liked Linkin Park. I like Linkin Park a lot.
I don't know any of their music, so.
You would, if you heard it, you would recognize some of it. Not that you would listen to it all the time, but I'm 100% sure you would recognize some of it. Because I listen to KROQ a lot, and
yeah.
And it, they for sure have it. You will have for sure heard their stuff. 100%.
Okay. The next story. Damon, who never disappoints.
No, Damon never disappoints.
And this is no exception.
Oh, good.
I have labeled this story. I put this story into the WTF pile.
Okay.
We'll call it the Damon file.
Yeah, really. Gail Newland, 27 years old. This is from Britain, the UK. Uck. She was found guilty of 3 counts of sexual assault.
On what?
Well,
that, you know, if it's from Damon, it's like, I'm assuming it's not on a person.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
She was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison.
Is it a live person?
Well, she...
Well...
Sort of,
yeah. Okay, this is complicated. She has an issue with... She works for a company where she has created several online personas.
Okay.
One of those online personas is a man who she used that persona to befriend her friend online and then convince the friend to be her her girlfriend as a boy. See, I'm confused.
Wait a minute. Already.
I'm already off the rails. Okay. So she, in her fake male guise,
okay,
befriends her best female friend, convinces her best female, you know, romances her online. They have this online romance, but the friend thinks that she's a dude.
Right.
So then convinces her when they're going to have a real-life meetup that she should wear a blindfold to enhance the romance. Every time they went out on a date, she wore a blindfold.
Wow.
And then she would have...
50 Shades of sick going on
and
here.
And then she would have sex with her friend using a strap-on. And her friend was devastated when one night the blindfold slipped and she found out. And I'm thinking, you have a relationship with someone blindfolded the entire time.
Yeah, that you've never seen.
Wow.
So this woman is going to jail for 6.5 years because you're too friggin' stupid to take off a blindfold. Really?
6.5 years?
But you're, yes. It's consensual.
Well.
Yeah, but it's deception.
It is deception.
It's all deception.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is take off the damn blindfold. Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Okay. I'm going to call bullshit on this right here. On the woman's part. Tell me, Shelley, as a woman, you wouldn't be able to tell if it was a strap-on to if it was real. The fact that this girl can go 7.5 hours without a break, I mean, come on. You know,
there's that.
Never. What'd she say her nickname was? Everhard? I mean, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know how to process that.
I'm calling bullshit, though.
She said,
didn't deserve to get any time.
Yeah.
Well, she said she did also. It was a 6-year sentence for the fraudulent sex, non-consensual sex or whatever.
First of all women would be in jail if you could go to jail for misrepresentation.
and most
except for
men
me,
as,
I don't have anything
most
fake.
Men as well.
Because here's the thing. You go meet a woman. Relationship progresses, you're going to spend the night together.
Right.
Yes.
Chances are really good between the time you get to wherever you're going and the time you get into bed, she has washed off all that shit she put on that made her look really attractive to you. So it's all false advertising.
Doo-doo-doo. How about the guys that say, I'm the best you ever had? I'm going to be the best you ever had.
Yeah. What about the dudes?
I'm the best I've ever had.
You can't do that. Doesn't get you out of that.
I satisfy myself every time.
Watch. Well, you know what you like.
That's right.
Now watch this. Who's the best you ever had?
You, sweetie.
Yeah, but you sounded so disingenuous when you said that right there.
That's actually true, though.
The sigh at the beginning was the key.
I already told him if anything happens to him, I'm going to get a wife because I'm done with men. Because I'm spoiled now.
We're way overrated.
And you know what?
No, I'm just spoiled. There will never be another Bruce.
I know who the wife's going to be, too.
Who?
Yvette Delgado.
Well, I don't know about that.
Did they come out last week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They came out to visit. Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, yeah. It may be Yvette. You don't know.
Shout outs to Yvette and Bill.
And Bill.
Happy birthday, yes. Bill. This is going to be a late birthday thing to him, but yeah.
Okay. Now, continuing on the news, then what do you find? The news finder, the news spotter that never disappoints. Damon sent this one in too.
Yes. Oh, here comes another one.
This is not a sex one though. This is in Dover.
Have to be.
This is Dover, New Jersey. Bleh. A trailer that was taking live chickens caught fire just north of the Toll Plaza on Dover Road.
Did the guy pull
over? Oh, no, not New Jersey. Sorry, Delaware. What amazes me about this is actually part of the police report was quoted in this, and the part of the police report says the chicken's condition is not yet clear. I'm like, the trailer caught fire. It's time to get out the barbecue sauce because that's what's going on with the chickens.
Wait, I'll tell you what.
How do you catch a burning chicken?
The thing,
I'm just saying.
And the thing I'm thinking is, you know, because, you know, you're joking. It's like, oh, yeah, you can serve up chicken. I'm sure that flaming wings of with feathers is probably not going to smell or taste the best.
True.
Because I don't believe they're plucked chickens unless.
No, they were live chickens.
They're live chickens.
Not anymore.
No. However, what's interesting about this story, it's not just the fact that there was a trailer full of chickens that caught fire, and how the truck caught on fire is not clear either. Has not been reported by the police yet.
Was there a guy with a white beard and a white mustache?
Colonel. A guy named Colonel.
Sprinkling seven herbs and spices on the contents of the trailer?
The interesting thing is that this particular spot on this road seems to be like, I don't know, what do you want to call it, you know, death lane for chickens? Because in December, an early morning incident spilled chickens all over the road again, and traffic was stopped for like the entire day because they were running around trying to find
Can
chickens.
Can you imagine if you own the bar down the street from there? Guy walks in. Dude, what? I need a drink. Why? I just watched burning chickens cross the road.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know who they needed?
Sir, yes. Why did the burning chicken cross the road?
You know who they needed?
Who?
Sylvester Stallone.
That's right, Rocky.
He could have caught chickens.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that happened in December with another spilled load of chickens with traffic backed up and everybody running around catching chickens. In August, another chicken truck tipped over.
Crashed into a barbecue sauce truck?
Now, at that time, only a few chickens escaped at the top of the truck. They were able to relocate the chickens to another truck. Wait, it gets better.
I was going to say, there hasn't been any other trucks like filled with cows or any other
it's always
poultry
chickens.
Or anything. It's always chickens.
Then the same road, a year previous to that, in December of 2014, a Freightliner tractor trailer loaded with chickens blew out a tire, which then sparked a fire.
Oh, my God.
And it's always that place on the road.
The Chick-fil-A cow.
If I'm a chicken.
The Chick-fil-A cow is doing it.
Yeah, eat chicken. Yeah, I have a feeling that chickens are like, I don't want to go in this truck right here.
I know where this truck is going.
Can we take a different route?
Yeah.
Okay. The other Mark sent this story in. Florida man. Oh, by the way, this takes place in
Florida.
Thank you. David Blackman, who does not have three names, but definitely should.
Oh, boy.
35 years old.
Really quick, for people that don't know, because we say that constantly, if you're a newer listener, it seems like most drug stories, the people, it's always like Thomas John Smith. You know, it's always three names. So when you hear us say three names, that's what we mean.
It's a
just
drug
a little update to people that might be newer, because they're always like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Three names.
We always tell people to go back and listen to old shows. So if they they'd hear that.
So David Blackman was booked Sunday on charges of cocaine possession, drug paraphernalia, and resisting arrest without violence.
How do you resist without violence?
I don't know.
He just said, "Don't arrest me."
I guess I don't want to.
Yeah,
get
I'm sorry.
The
I'm not
car.
Going with you.
I don't know exactly.
I'm not going to let you arrest me today, Johnny.
Because in California, they throw you on the ground for that. No, you're not. I'm sorry. I'm not
like a baby harp seal.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not submitting to you. Oh, really? Here, have a taste of my taser.
Maybe he just talked back a lot. I don't know. But at any rate, the reason why he was originally arrested was because some things were stolen from his vehicle, and he called the police to report the theft. He called the police to report the theft of $50 and a quarter ounce of cocaine from his center console.
Okay, so he wins the stupid award.
So he's an idiot. Now, when they were filling out his booking papers and asked him what his profession was, he said drug dealer. He told them that his occupation was drug dealer.
This guy's a new level of stupid.
This was his actual first...
That's a waste of water.
This was his first actual arrest, and he is in custody in lieu of $4,000 bail.
Probably not going to be his last arrest if he's that much of an idiot.
I know. I just... That was what got me. He listed... It's like when I was a kid, my mom used to fill out paperwork, and when it said... when it asked for her occupation, she would say domestic engineer. Because she was a housewife, and she thought domestic engineer sounded much snazzier. Yeah,
this guy just goes to show you. You can fix your eyes, your nose, your lips, your teeth, your tits. You can't fix stupid.
This guy is a purveyor of drugs.
Yes.
He is
a purveyor. I'm
a purveyor
of narcotics.
Okay.
These are really good.
Yeah.
These are really good.
Yeah, these are, yeah.
We are smoking a new cigar we've never had before from our favorite island, and they are quite
Cuba.
Good.
Fran sent this story in. This is out of Oregon.
Fantastic.
Yes. Alana Donahue, 27 years old. She has just been charged with 3 counts of reckless endangerment of a child.
What city?
I don't know.
Is it Portland? Is she Besson?
Springfield. Springfield, Oregon. I don't know where that is. No, I don't think she's Besson.
I'm not sure where that is either.
It's right between Salem and Portland.
Salem and what?
Portland.
Yeah, it's small.
It's a big area, though.
Yeah, it's got to be small. Well, you know, it's funny because here, you know, because Salem to Portland's like 45 minutes. But in Oregon, they call that a weekend trip. And I'm like, we call that driving to work, you know.
Well, it's 45 miles. It might be 2.5 hours, depending upon what town you're going through.
Well, at any rate, she has been charged with 3 counts of reckless endangerment of a child. She's accused of towing her 2-year-old, her 4-year-old, and her 8-year-old nephew, her 2-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son, and 8-year-old nephew around in a little red wagon, which immediately made me think of the song Little Red Wagon. Did you ever sing that to your kids? Bumping along in my little red wagon, bumping along in my little red wagon. Yeah.
Is she towing them like with a 4x4?
Yes.
Is she?
Yes. She got a rope and tied the wagon to the back of her car.
That was awesome.
She was going 5 miles an hour.
That's just fun.
Around a roundabout during heavy traffic.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Heavy traffic's the key.
Oh.
And
there's a roundabout in Springfield?
Well, a roundabout. Like, I saw the picture of... Actually, there's a picture of the wagon with one of the kids in it. You know, somebody took a picture of it, of her. And it's like... It's like a 3-way stop that you can turn around and go back the other way. Like, so it's kind of a cul-de-sac-y roundabout.
Mama come down from the sky, they stand there.
Okay, anyway.
Do you remember driving when we were like older teenagers and all of a sudden you'd look? Because I had this happen with a truck, pickup truck I was driving, and some guy on a skateboard had grabbed onto the back of the truck and was actually hanging on.
Yeah, people used to do that all the time.
Well, she actually... Somebody videotaped it. The video was not attached to the story. But what happened was somebody started filming this. She's going 5 miles an hour. The kids are in this wagon. The 2 older kids are screaming faster, faster. The 2-year-old starts crying.
Well, yeah.
So she stops.
Cry when older kids scream.
Yes. She stops slowly, according to witnesses, goes and gets the 2-year-old, puts it in the car in its car seat.
Yeah.
Then starts up again and with the other two, the older two that wanted to go. And I'm pretty sure... Now, this is endangerment of a child. You cannot tie a wagon to the back of your car and go running around in traffic. It's just not safe for the kid. However, I'm pretty sure that the reason somebody called the police was because she was backing up traffic like crazy.
Well, sure.
You know, in the middle of traffic, she's going 5 miles an hour.
Springfield, Oregon, there is no traffic.
Yeah, there's no traffic in Springfield.
Because there's barely traffic in Portland.
Yeah.
Well, drugs and alcohol were ruled out. So yeah, she was sober.
Yeah, her kids were having fun.
It's the end of summer. She's like, fine, get in the wagon. I'll tie it to the car. So, however, her children have been taken away and placed with relatives.
You know, her kids are lucky that she used a wagon.
That it wasn't a big wheel.
Believe me, I've seen many fail videos where they'll use anything. It'll be like a trash can lid from a metal trash can, and they'll tow
sparks
people
flying
around
off
in
the back.
Snow.
Oh, in the snow, yeah. On pavement, sparks flying out
of
the
back. Well, I always love those things because what happens every single time is they turn a corner. And when they turn a corner, that thing that they're dragging behind them swings out real wide, and
real
whichever
fast.
The first mailbox, tree, or trap, you know, street light, it hits. Yeah, and they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't use the shit word because Shelley already dropped the F-bomb.
I did. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, finally, this last story is also from Fran. In Wimbledon, and I'm kind of thinking this guy's a little bit heroic because he's a total good sport. There was an invitational at Wimbledon. There was an invitational tennis match between Belgium's Grand Slam champion and somebody else, some Irish person. And now I can't find the name of the person. At any rate, in the spectators, one of them was a man named Chris Quinn, who is the captain of his tennis club in Dublin, Ireland. And he was, you know, being loud or whatever. So the Belgium champion challenged him. Because he was screaming that do a body serve, which I guess was when you slam the tennis ball into your opponent's body.
Yeah.
And finally, the tennis champion turned around and said, "Would you like to show us how to do this?"
Oh,
how bad did he beat him?
Huh?
How bad did he beat him?
No. What happened was there was two women that were the tennis players. He said, "Well, yes, I would." And he's kind of a big guy, and he comes down out of the stands. They found him an extra female's outfit, and the picture of him, he's in this tight little female's tennis outfit and skirt, and he actually did play. He did the serve. He managed to return the serve. It was, and everybody was laughing, and it was great fun all around.
Good.
So I think that
good
sounded fun. Yes. So
I thought it'd be funny if he'd gone on the court and won.
No. He didn't win. He got his butt kicked, but he did. By a girl.
Oh, Bobby Riggs.
He is not a good representative of us.
What was the other girl's name? Bobby Riggs and
Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King. But so everybody applauded. It was a good time was had by all. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Recovery 101.
Welcome, all my friends, to the show you wish would end. Welcome
We're
back.
We're so glad you could attend. Come inside.
That's right. Heck yeah. So,
y'all have something go on. Shelly? And you came up with a topic, I hear.
You might as well just kick loose with this topic here.
What topic?
The topic for this show.
Which I don't
know
what it is.
Thursday night meeting?
Oh, I thought we were doing a dumpster fire of that.
No, we're going to show on it.
We're going full metal show
full
on this
Monty
one.
Here.
You want the whole 20 minutes to lambast me, whatever that is?
Why you?
I was there too.
That's true. You didn't say anything either.
I did. When they asked, I said normally.
Yeah.
Well, you should give the rundown.
Here's the deal. We have a secretary. He had... what, 8 months, nine months, something like that. We passed the 6 month point. He went out.
Shocker.
I know. So he comes back.
I got this.
And he was only out for a couple days. Comes back to the meeting the next week, and it's not like he tried to hide.
That hardly counts.
It still counts because I walked into the room and, you know, 10 minutes before the meeting started, and I said, "Hey, Tommy, you feeling better?" Because we had all thought he was sick, which
he was,
but you know. And he immediately said that he was okay, that he'd gone out, and he and I talked about it a little bit. And,
so you assumed you were going to becoming secretary that night.
Well, that's the thing. After I heard that, I'm like, oh crap, because there really isn't in that meeting. The pool for secretary and treasurer, we got tons of potential coffee makers and chip people and literature people coming out the wazoo.
Secretary's you and Bruce.
It's because you have to have 6 months for secretary.
Else there.
Yeah, you have to
our guy that's the treasurer who has enough
I'm out for at least three more months.
You weren't there?
You what?
My sponsor was late.
I'm out at least 3 more months because we got that AWOL going on in FA, and I'm a co-leader.
My sponsor was late. His girlfriend was late with him, so there was, there's...
And she can't do it because she can't make the meeting half the time, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
So...
Well, that's the thing. When this whole event started, the only people in the room with time were Bruce and I.
Okay.
I mean time as in more than a year.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, we can't move the treasurer into the secretary spot because there's no one else with enough time to, because you have to have 2 years to do the treasurer thing.
And
or no, it's a
got,
year.
And you just got with a done job. Being treasurer
and
for
I
a
just,
year and
yeah,
a half.
I just got done doing it for a year and a half. I'm done. And I'm talking to Tommy, and then I go out, and I'm telling Bruce, I said, you heard about this. And I looked at him, and I said, okay, this is on you, because you are the senior statesman in this room right now. You get to lead the charge on this.
That's right.
Because normally what happens is you need a new secretary. So Tommy starts to meet, oh, am I not supposed to say his name? Whoops.
It's all right. You already said it 3 times.
Okay. I did?
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's only a first name.
Yeah.
So
could be any Tommy.
It could be. So
nobody around here listens to the show anyway.
It could be the Who's album.
So he starts the meeting as usual, and I'm looking at Bruce like, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something? And then he immediately takes the meeting off the rails and said, we need to talk about something first. And he admits what happened and apologized that I need to make an amends to the group. And I'm very sorry. If you need to replace me, I understand that, blah, 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 blah. And it was a very heartfelt.
But I'd like to stay.
But I'd like to stay, is what he said. Up until the point where he apologized to the group and wanted to stay, I was like, nope, he's got to go. And then I was like, And I thought about it. And Bruce is doing his own. Normally, when a secretary goes out, they have to be replaced, yada, yada, yada. And other people are saying, no, we want Tommy to stay because they only have 2 minutes. And they don't understand that he needs to go out and work on his recovery some more.
Yeah.
And I know that. And I understand that. I have 10 years. And instead, me, the dipshit, pipes up and says, under every other circumstance, I would say, no, you need to step down. But I think it would be more valuable for Tommy to stay where he is. So that he has a responsibility. Part of this is when I talk to Tommy, he's one of those people that is extremely uncomfortable in his skin. I mean, it's evident. Unless he's talking about music, or if he's talking about anything that's not himself, he's extremely uncomfortable in his skin. He doesn't like to talk about it. He edges away from it. And I asked him before the meeting, I said, well, why didn't you call your sponsor, you dumb shit? And he said, I did. He didn't call me back.
Oh, I thought his sponsor was maybe the guy that spoke that night.
No. Sponsor was not there.
Okay.
And I said, have you called him since? And he said, yeah, but he hasn't called me back. I don't know what that means.
That guy had some time. Well, he's well over 10 years. I don't know how much time. But he went to bat for him, too.
So first thing on your checklist, Tommy, get a new sponsor.
That's exactly what I told him. And I said, you better call Bruce.
Did you?
I said if he needed somebody to talk to.
Because Bruce needs more sponsees.
Hey, I got 5.
I just did an inventory with one today. I did a fifth step with one today.
I got 2 girls about to drop fifths at the end of the month.
I got 2 working on fourths right now and one who I just finished 6 and 7 with.
So, at any rate, I am claiming responsibility for completely tanking the Thursday night meeting but by not putting my foot down and allowing someone with no time to continue to secretary the meeting.
Let's look at it from this point of view, though. Any other night, anyone that wasn't at that meeting, someone's running a meeting, you probably wouldn't even know. The person's running the meeting, you don't know how much time they have. It's not like you go up there and go, hey, my sobriety date is blah, blah. The thing was, when it was directed towards me, I said, normally people step down. That's what we normally do.
Normally, their sponsor tells them they have to step
then
down.
The autonomous question came up from the guy that was going to be the speaker. He goes, well, you know, meetings are autonomous. You know, we could vote on it. And I was like...
Yes, because I did mention if you're going to do this...
And you know what? And I'm sitting there, and I got to be honest. Normally, I mean, I've asked a number of other people to step down, Jake being one of them. You know, Half Cake Jake. You know, I mean, he had to step down, and there's been a number of people over the years that we've had step down. And I got to tell you, the autonomous question kind of stopped me in my tracks because I'm like, you know, if it doesn't affect CA as a whole, you know, and it's only in this meeting. And I was like, I said, well, there is the autonomous issue.
If you read the long form of the traditions, what it says is each group is autonomous. However, you do need to advise the area of any changes you're making.
Really?
So yes.
Yeah. So every time we get a new secretary, we got
to
tell them?
No, but if you're autonomous, so if you're voting on something to change something that's part of the accepted way things are done, you are supposed to advise.
So have we done that from that meeting before? Because I know that meeting before, we've waived time a variety pack of times over the years.
No, we never have. It just says you're supposed to.
We still haven't.
So is there a rule that the secretary has to have 6 months? Or is that just...
It's actually suggested a year from what I understand.
See, Michael, Tall Michael,
yeah,
told us it was 6 months. Because I said it was a year the last time we were doing an election, and he was there. And he said, no, I think it's 6 months for...
Right, because actually the way that this guy got elected the first time...
Uh-huh.
We 100% thought we were going to railroad a gentleman named Ken, because Ken's got the right amount of time, and we were going to have to vote to bend the time requirement for the person that would be most likely taken over the Treasury, because this person, while they don't have a ton of time, they have a very responsible job. And, you know, you remember...
She's got more than 6 months.
One of the things is always...
Yeah. She's got more than 6 months. She's got more than 6 months.
Yeah, because in CA, when CA first started, since we had $30 in the treasury was out.
Yeah, gone. I can't
That's
tell
why we had
you...
We had to bring AA people in to be treasurers.
I can't tell you the number of times when I was new in CA where treasurers would last a week and then they'd be gone. And back then, the meeting was pretty big. So it wasn't unusual to collect $35 at a meeting, even if only half the people gave a buck.
When that meeting was 6 months old.
In the gym.
The only guy who could be treasurer was the guy who owned the local pawn shop.
Yeah.
Because it was $60-$70 a week.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
Well, I did mention when we were discussing this that in order to allow him to stay, the group would have to vote to waive the time requirement.
Okay. Which I'm sure they did. Because
which they did.
I abstained.
Yes.
I voted either yay nor nay.
Mr. I don't want to be confrontational with anyone that I'm not related to, said I abstain.
Bruce.
You know what, Bruce? You know when you say abstain in a meeting, you know what you're saying?
Bruce.
Is I in no way, shape, or form am voting for that.
Bruce, your doctor called. Your balls are ready to be picked up.
Now, you know what? I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems to me, even in area and GSR, whenever there's somebody that abstains, it's always every time I hear someone say, well, I abstain, it's like them saying, I am in no way, shape, or form voting yes on this.
I vote.
But at the same time, they're not voting no.
More things than probably anybody else in the rooms.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would have been, first of all, and you, look, we've talked about this many times. Okay, we're going to take a vote. Who wants Tommy to stay? Fucking 60 hands go up. I mean, no matter what happens, it ain't going to happen.
Yep. Yeah. Just like if you'd have said, okay, who feels Tommy needs to be replaced? 60 hands would have gone up.
Yeah, if it had been done the other way.
Because everybody likes to vote yes.
Yeah, if it had been done the other way and asked who, and I'll tell you what, it would only take, It would only take if they said, who wants this guy to be replaced, and hands went up,
yep,
there would be a bunch of hands that would go up.
Yeah.
But that's
like I've always said.
That's not the way it came out.
Like I always said, the secret is how you word your group conscience.
Well, and you know what? It was like that, too. The speaker guy up in the front's like, well, who thinks that Tommy should be given a second chance and really help him cement his recovery?
Jesus.
And it's like, I mean, this guy is a guy with, you know, he's over a decade. He's been around, you know, and he's like, you know, I mean, newcomers listen to that.
No,
this guy's
he wasn't.
Speaker. Who was it?
You're talking about Randy was speaking that night. He's got 2 years now.
Oh,
he went out and then he came back.
Oh, okay.
I thought he had way more than 2 years.
He had at 1.6 years and went out. He's only been around 10 years.
Okay. Oh, well, okay.
He's got 10 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Yes.
Well, look, and here's the thing. Yeah. This guy's the guy that's going to be speaking to the group. So, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Every pearl of wisdom that drops off his tongue to a newcomer is like, oh, shit, look what the speaker said.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I will. Oh, and the funny thing was, halfway through the meeting, Michael walks in, and Bruce and I both look at each other like, "Oh shit, Dad's home."
Oh no, you know what?
We were like, "Ah, crap, we're in trouble now."
And you know what? I agree that if Michael had been there, he would have said the same thing I did, which is normally. Now I don't know if he would have got tripped up by the autonomous question because the autonomous question.
No, he wouldn't.
The autonomous question. It tripped me up. It really did. And I'll be the first to admit it. Because that hadn't occurred to me. That didn't occur. I said, well, normally, you got to step down. Huh? Well, but meetings are autonomous. You know, we could vote to change the time requirement. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, meetings are autonomous. You know, I mean, it's like meetings are autonomous. And it would be different if we hadn't voted to change the time requirements on many things in that meeting many times over the years. And I was like, we can't do that.
First you had to vote to waive time.
Right.
Then you had to open up the floor for nominations for a new
which
secretary.
We did not do.
No, well, that's not the way they did it.
Okay, so.
That's not the way they did it. The way they did it was...
Yeah,
we'll take a vote on if Tommy should stay as secretary.
Who wants to stroke Tommy?
No, they did do the hand raise for the time requirement thing because I said that you'd have to take a.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know, who here is okay with letting Tommy continue to be secretary and continue to work his program? I mean, it was like one of those, you know.
Yeah, it's all in how you phrase it. Yeah.
Well, I will take responsibility if the meeting tanks because...
The meeting's not going
to
tank.
Because I'm pretty sure that I can get alcohol and pot okay to go ahead and use in CA if I word the group conscience
If you just cage the question right.
Yep.
Honestly, you know, Mark and I were thinking.
Yeah. Honestly,
a little 420 might not be bad in this meeting.
Yeah.
Who's bringing it this week?
Yeah.
Three hands will go up. Yeah.
The treasurer will reimburse you. Five more hands go up.
That's... Well, and I'll tell you what, as I was sitting there after the vote, and it was, you know, autonomously decided by the group, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, how differently would this have been if it was me, you, Michael, Clint,
Carl,
Arthur, Jerome, all in that group? It would have never happened.
Nope.
Would have never happened.
No, well, first of all, one of us would have stepped up and run against him. And then we'd have given our lists of qualifications to be secretary.
Mark could go up there. You know, I've been sober longer than most of you have been alive.
Yep. I started this meeting.
On the number one rated recovery show on the planet.
Yep.
People would be like, what? Oh, we need him.
I know famous people who will come speak.
I love when Shadow came and spoke.
Yeah.
You know what I loved about when Shadow came and spoke?
What?
This is a guy, people in other areas, not in Southern California, would not know him as well as people in Southern California would. But he didn't talk about all the stuff he's done in the entertainment industry at all.
Nope.
I mean, he mentioned, you know, that He'd been in the studio, but it's not like it was like, hey, look at me, I did this, I did this.
Nope.
He talked a little bit about his daughter. He said, man, my daughter's got a great voice. She's singing this thing. I think it's fantastic. Uh-huh. But other than that, no one would have known, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Because such is not always the case when someone in recovery comes around who has some
notoriety,
accolades.
Notoriety?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think... let's talk about the autonomous thing for a minute, because you touched on that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm sure that there's areas all over the place where people waive time, just depending on how many people are there. And, you know, it reminds me of when Shelly and I were in these meetings in bum F nowhere, like up in Gold Country, where there's only six people there.
Yeah.
And you got to know that these guys have been secretary 27 times.
Yeah.
And the problem is, though, you've got six people in the room, one guy that's been there since God made dirt, and probably maybe another guy that's got some time and then nobody else. So it's like you got a guy that can be secretary and a guy that can be treasurer. Mm-hmm. After that, you don't even have a person that can be GSR, you know? And it's like, so certainly all over. Now, we're not in an area like that. We got tons of people around here.
Yeah.
The problem is at that meeting, we have tons of new people. But what do we think about autonomy in general?
I think
on a subject like this.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of basis for, you know, each one teach one. So the guy with 2 days can teach the guy with 1 day, and you know the guy with a week.
That hadn't even occurred to me on that.
You know, so you've got that, and then you've got the autonomy of that. You know, the accepted other, and you know, unless you affect other groups or CA as a whole, does that affect CA as a whole? Not really.
No, I don't see it.
Does it affect other groups? Well,
could.
And
it could if someone from that meeting goes to another meeting and says, "Well, here's what we did at that meeting over there."
Yeah. You know, and that's fine. And yeah, on the matter of autonomy, groups are autonomous. The problem you have is when you have a group that has no time in it, waving traditions in front of their face really doesn't mean much. That's where the elder statesman in the room, who has a good grasp of the traditions, needs to be the one to really step up and take control of that thing.
Well, that's why I say, you know what? And I'm first to admit it.
You punted.
Well, I didn't punt. The very first thing I said is...
You're right, you took a knee.
The very first thing I said is, normally you can't be secretary anymore. And then the autonomous question came up, and then I didn't punt, but I did take a knee because I'm like, you know, and reflecting on it, it's like it was limited time to reflect on that question, or like, yeah, as long as it doesn't affect other groups or CA as a whole. And I'm like thinking about it, and I'm like, it's really affecting this meeting here. And I'm we are a mob rules type of democracy, you know, whatever, you know, as we've talked about, whatever the mob says is what you normally ends up happening.
Right.
I mean, we could be in a room, you know, we could go to some place where there's a bunch of guys with time.
Yeah.
You could go to 667 where there might be seven guys in there with a total of 300 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
And as long as there's 15 newcomers in there that vote opposite of them, you know, then it goes down or goes up.
When CA was young, I probably had about 4 or 5 years at the time. And there was a group of guys who got together and decided they wanted meetings to run differently. And they started getting their band together and walking into rooms.
And voting.
And replacing the secretary and the GSR and the treasurer with their people.
Oh, right. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And, you know... But the ultimate thing is, look, the ultimate way to vote is not with your voice. You vote with your feet. So you either show up or you decide to go to another meeting. If you don't like what goes on in a meeting, go to a different meeting.
If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing.
We have that luxury here.
Yeah, some places don't.
Yeah.
Some places don't. And you know, that's just the one place we went. But I'll bet that there's thousands of meetings across the country where there's just not a lot of time available, or there's one guy with time. And you know what? You know, man, you can only be secretary like five times in a row before you're like, okay, for 5 years, I've never done anything on a Saturday night except be here.
Our friend Terry, he used to say it really well. Our friend who moved to Thailand.
Yeah.
He used to say to me, because I said, God, dude, how long have you been treasurer of this meeting? He says, well, Mark, in order to give it away, you got to have somebody to give it to.
True. So, Shelley.
Yeah?
Have we beat this enough for you?
Huh?
What would your final words on this be?
Well, I had some other words a while ago.
Well, then continue.
But you kept talking over me. Well,
I talked over you?
Yes, so I stopped talking.
She was going to
teach
you.
I took my toys and went home.
So let's hear it.
Well, no, you called for final words. Well, oh, no, I remember it. You've called for final words, so my final words are going to be really long.
Okay.
What it came down to for me, and the reason why I completely tanked that meeting now, is that if something egregious happens and we lose the secretary entirely, Bruce and I have been there long enough, one of us will step in and take it. We've done it before, we'll do it again. The meeting isn't going to fail because I sort of was a proponent for this. And in speaking with Tommy before the meeting, before he said anything, I told him he was probably going to have to step down because that's what we do. I told him that we were going to have to elect a new secretary. And he had tears in his eyes, and I think he really wants it. And I have talked to him privately before and after the meeting at other times. And he has a problem opening up to people. And he reminds me an awful lot of a man I knew in early sobriety named Vahe. Everybody thought everything was fine, and he was always smiling, and he couldn't stay sober, and he wouldn't admit it out loud that he was relapsing all the time, and then he ended up killing himself.
He was a coffee maker at that meeting.
He was the coffee maker when I was the secretary at the Monday night meeting.
Oh, Monday, yeah.
And I get that same feeling. It's an emotional deja vu for me, and I don't want it to happen again. And it might, and I have to realize that. But I think that for me, it was a totally emotion over intellect, totally disregarded the traditions. I did that. I said that. And I spoke up on his behalf because I think it's more valuable for him to stay in his position and try to see it through than it is to just do the jolly along and how you doing and all of that. I want to try to keep him there so that we can keep tabs on him. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And if I screwed it up, I screwed it up, and I'll take responsibility for it. But that's where it came from for me.
Mark.
Yes.
Final words. Shelley got a little misty there for a second.
Being of service will help keep you clean and sober.
My final words on this are...
You don't need any final words, Bruce. Just take a knee.
We're autonomous, but watch that shit.
Recovery 101.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 radio show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with the people you hear about on the show, like Frantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, You can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link. And then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever. And we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there. And then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
So, Shelly,
yes.
Who's the lead-out music by?
Our friend Doug, Falling Down.
Falling Down. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
So much more.